I'm your host, Haley Peffer, Digital Managing Editor at thehorse.com. Gastric ulcers are common in both performance and pleasure horses, but the clinical signs can be easily overlooked. Affected horses might show poor performance, changes in attitude, decreased appetite, or unexpected weight loss. Because the horse's stomach continuously produces acid and is designed for foraging, management factors such as intermittent feeding, high starch diets, and stress from transport or work can contribute to ulcer development. The only way to definitively diagnose gastric ulcers is through gastroscopy, so it's important to work with your veterinarian if you suspect your horse might have them. This event is sponsored by Bimeda. To answer your questions, we are joined by expert panelists Dr. Laramie Winfield from Steinbeck Peninsula Equine Clinic and Dr. J.D. Conway with Bimeda. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us.
Dr. Winfield, could you tell us a little bit about your background?
Yeah, of course. I grew up in a family obsessed with horses, and it was my love of horses and science that kind of attracted me to veterinary medicine. I attended veterinary school at UC Davis, graduating in 2008, after which I completed an internship at the place I'm working now, Steinbeck Equine. And then I was lucky enough to return to Davis for a large animal internal medicine residency, which I finished in 2012. And I've been working at Steinbeck ever since completing my residency. I have a pretty wide variety of clinical interest as a vet. I do both chiropractic and acupuncture work, as well as really enjoying taking care of sick neonates. And I really like using my endoscope, especially scoping stomachs.
Thank you. And Dr. Conway, can you tell us a little bit about your background and your role with Bimeda?
Yeah, that's I sure can. Haley, thank you. Thanks for the horse for sponsoring this. So I graduated from Colorado State University 15 years ago, been in practice throughout that time, primarily in industry for the last 10 years, first with Dechra Pharmaceuticals, then a stint with Contura. And I've been with Bimeda a relatively short time here over the last couple of weeks. And excited to be here. Bimeda's like coming home for me. I've known about their products a long time, helped them in some of the development of a couple of the early products that they have on the sports medicine side of things. And so it's great. I mentioned I do practice about a day a week, but I still am super involved with industry, obviously with Bimeda itself. And so my role is the Associate Director of Veterinary Technical Services, handling all adverse events, some product business development, product development, as well as a lot of the educational platforms that we do. So.
Thank you. Before we begin answering questions, I want to remind everyone of our Ask the Horse Live format. We're starting with questions submitted during registration. If you're listening live and would like to submit a question, please do so via the chat window. We'll do our best to get to as many of your questions as possible. If you're listening to the podcast recording of this event and would like to join us live in the future, please visit thehorse.com/askthehorselive to register for notifications. And with that, we're going to jump in. So our first question is for you, Dr. Winfield. It's from Anne in Australia, who asked if you can explain exactly what gastric ulcers are and the differences between squamous and glandular ulcers.
Yes, I'd be happy to. I think that is a great question to start us off in. So gastric ulcers are erosions or sores that disrupt the normal stomach lining. When we're talking about squamous versus glandular ulcers, we're really referring to the location of the ulcer in the stomach. Squamous ulcers are in the squamous portion of the stomach, which is the upper portion of the stomach connected to the esophagus. So that's kind of where food's going to first be coming down and entering the stomach, and it's lined with a squamous epithelium. This region is really susceptible to damage from stomach acid and relies on saliva as a buffer and forage intake, which also buffers the acid that's produced in the glandular portion. The glandular portion of the stomach is lower, connecting to the duodenum, which is the first part of the small intestine, and it has a glandular lining, which secretes digestive enzymes, as well as a couple of other things, and is protected by a thick mucus layer and some bicarbonate. Those are both kind of protective for that region. And so I think it's like an anatomic description, but I thought it would be important also just to mention a little bit, you know, the functional part of each region.
Thank you. And Dr. Conway, Nicolette in Colorado wants to know what the common signs of gastric ulcers are.
Great question. And it's something I talk about in the field quite a bit. The tricky part about gastric ulcers is the signs are pretty subtle in certain cases and can be easily attributed to something else. So most commonly, changes in attitude or behavior in most horses. Sometimes they become grumpy. They pin their ears if they're being groomed or they're actually putting a girth cinch on them if you're saddling the horse. Even something simple as like they're a little bit dull or unhappy, I think. Probably the bigger pieces of the puzzle, trying to figure out if there's ulcers that are an issue or reduced appetite is what we might find, or reluctance to finish grains. What I mean is if you're feeding hay and grain, alfalfa or grass hay or some type of mixed forage, and then you're feeding grain, they might go play with the grain a little bit, and most horses would just go immediately to the grain and eat it. In these cases, they're just going to go and eat the hay oftentimes more quickly. You might see some weight loss or dull coat, drop in performance of some sort. Those are all, you know, possibilities as well. And the other one is just a low grade colicky type horse with colic symptoms. So those are all the things that commonly see as signs of gastric ulcers.
Dr. Winfield, Elise in New York asked how veterinarians diagnose gastric ulcers.
Yeah, ideally, you know, I really do believe that gastric ulcers are best diagnosed with endoscopy. You know, I think you guys can kind of tell just from that previous question that the signs are, there's a lot of different ones and they're going to be variable horse to horse. So with an endoscope, in which this is a procedure in which the horse is fasted, so the stomach is nice and empty, and we give them a little sedation typically. We pass the endoscope up the nose and down into the stomach, and we can actually directly visualize the ulcers. And this allows us to see how severe they are and determine where they are, you know, either the squamous or the glandular portions of the stomach. And I think this just helps us again with severity and location, because they can be a little bit variable in terms of response to treatment and also what medications I might reach for. And that visualization really allows us to make a better treatment plan.
Dr. Conway, Debbie in Virginia wants to know if there is any way to prevent ulcers in horses, especially once the horse has already been treated in the past.
So Debbie, prevention is possible, absolutely. Sort of a two-pronged approach, I would say. Management when appropriate and medication are really the two keys. As far as the management side goes, it's really maximizing the three Fs. So I always talk about the three Fs, freedom, forage, and friends. And I think those are important. So forage access, what that might look like is maybe reduced meal size, you know, increased hay, increased access to grazing, those kind of things, limiting the starch content and minimizing any fasting time you might see. So obviously having friends, being out and having some freedom are also part of that. Feeding some small amounts of hay, ideally alfalfa, before you exercise, as Dr. Winfield mentioned, having a buffering type agent there to decrease the acid during work. As far as the medication side, that makes, you know, what we'll talk about today, using omeprazole, well established and supported on label, obviously, for treatment of ulcers and also for prevention. Treatment would be the 1.8 mg per pound daily, and then treatment at the 0.9 mg per pound per day. So, yeah, it's absolutely possible to help prevent them.
Dr. Winfield, June in Pennsylvania says her horse is overweight, but also has both squamous and glandular ulcers. How can she manage his weight while treating the ulcers?
I think this is a great question. And, you know, it certainly brings to light that one of our treatments for ulcers is that we want to allow a horse more access to forage to buffer that stomach acid. And then it's, you know, we're balancing that in this case with the horse's weight. I would suggest a few things. I think switching to like a lower calorie forage, maybe something like a tested hay or a teff hay, or potentially soaking the hay for 30 minutes or so before you feed it and discarding the water just to knock back the sugar content, might allow you to keep the volume of the food static, but help the horse take in fewer calories and less sugar during the day. I think you could also consider to help keep the stomach buffered for longer periods of time, like using a slow feed system or like a net or a slow feeder, just to kind of slow the horse down, and also feeding multiple times per day. If your horse gets turnout, a grazing muzzle could be a great way to still allow the horse to turn out, walk around, have that freedom that Dr. Conway mentioned, and get small amounts of grass, but not so much that the horse is putting on more weight. And lastly, I think just encouraging exercise. This, you know, certainly very strenuous exercise we know can promote gastric ulcers, but more low intensity work might help in this horse's case with lots of walking and just burning calories and improving insulin sensitivity.
Dr. Conway, Melody in Alberta wants to know if a horse having gastric ulcers once in his life makes him more prone to getting them again.
Great question. The honest answer is yes. And there's really a couple reasons for it. First, is those risk factors probably haven't changed. Training schedule, feed, you know, how often are you hauling the horse, same environment the horse has been in. So all of those things are probably still present. So second, there's some evidence that horses that have had significant ulceration, they also may have some ongoing mucosal sensitivity, and so even after healing. And third, from a practical standpoint, once a horse owner knows that their horse is prone to having ulcers, they tend to be a lot more vigilant about seeing and recognizing signs and all of those things for reoccurrence. So whereas the first episode might have gone unnoticed for a while. So I think at least the takeaway is, if it has a history of ulcers, you know, prompt veterinary attention is important in the process.
Dr. Winfield, Barb in New Brunswick wants to know if supplements can help prevent ulcer recurrence once a horse has been treated. If so, how can she choose a high quality supplement?
Yeah. So this question, we're not going to cover the entire breadth of this question just because there is a lot of different supplements out there. And choosing which one, I think, is absolutely something. I'm going to run through some ingredients here, but that's probably a good discussion to have with your veterinarian and, you know, your particular situation. It's a tricky area to navigate only because some supplements have research behind them, but often even ones that have research behind them, the studies are quite small and they might not have a control group. And most of the products out there have no research behind them at all. I also think it's quite important to note that for competition horses, supplements need to be clean and only contain ingredients listed on the package. And some companies do a lot of internal testing of their ingredients, which can be important to ensure safe products that will not cause a false positive or real positive drug test. The following is a short list of ingredients that may be beneficial in the prevention of ulcers, but this list is by no means comprehensive. The use of marine-based omega-3 supplements containing EPA and DHA have been shown to decrease inflammatory responses pretty well. And in one study, supplementation with the marine-based omega and exercising thoroughbred racehorses was superior in protecting against squamous ulceration when compared to corn or a flax oil blend. That being said, corn oil offers a much less expensive option, and in another study has been shown to heal glandular gastric ulcers when they were experimentally induced by using non-steroidal anti-inflammatories. Pectin and lectin complexes, these are plant-derived compounds, and they've been shown to be helpful for both squamous and glandular gastric disease. And you may see these ingredients combined with buffering agents like magnesium hydroxide in supplements that are currently getting marketed. Licorice root extract is also a very popular ingredient right now that's been looked at in several small studies, some of which combine it with a buffering agent like magnesium hydroxide or calcium carbonate, and it has been shown promise for prevention of both squamous and glandular gastric ulcers. Hyaluronic acid supplements have also shown some promise in the healing of squamous and glandular ulcers, and often can be combined with beta-glucan, which is a soluble dietary fiber and polysaccharide found in plant cell walls, and that has been shown to increase the effect of the HA. I know this isn't a comprehensive list of supplements, and I often will tell people if there's one that they're very excited about, that I will, if I'm not familiar with it myself, I'll look over the ingredients and kind of give them my opinion. But there's just so many products out there, it's almost impossible to be familiar with all of them.
Dr. Conway, Judy in our live audience would like to know if you can comment on the use of omeprazole while trailering horses long distances, and how far in advance of the trip would you give omeprazole?
That's a great question, interesting question. I can answer it. My recommendations as a vet, for one, is yes, I give omeprazole when our horses are being trailered, especially if it's going to be longer than maybe an hour or so, as far as long distance goes. They had a study that came out a long time ago. Dr. McClure did a study, I don't know, 20 years ago or so, where they looked at horses that were on trailers and going long distances. The point of the study was to see if they developed ulcers, and most of those horses did. And it was relatively quickly, within about 5 days. Now, the repeatability of the horse and looking at the pH and all of those things are different. And we really haven't looked at that more in depth in recently, but I do think it makes sense to use omeprazole or Gastrobem if you're a Bimeda customer. But yes, and what does that look like for me? Well, it's the preventative dose, so 0.9 mg per pound, so basically half a tube a day for those horses when they're on the trailer. We just recently, my wife and I, trailered 5 of our horses up here to Cody, Wyoming. We spend half the year in Texas, and she's a horse trainer, and every one of the horses got a half a dose, you know, of omeprazole, or in this case, Gastrobem. They got a half a tube. It took us 3 days to get here, about 7 hours each day driving with the trailer. So I think it's important. It's important to get consideration. Now, I just use the omeprazole. I don't use other products. You know, they're on good feed and good hay. They all have access to alfalfa. I think alfalfa on the road is a really good thing too. So this is my opinion. I don't know if Dr. Winfield has any comments there as well. She may.
No, I agree with you. I think that prevention dose and, you know, starting it a little bit before is really your best bet when you've got a stressful event like trailering, and just to, you know, keep you out of trouble.
Dr. Conway, we have a question from our live audience and also from Carrie in Ontario about sucralfate. So could you tell us if long-term sucralfate use is safe for ulcer-prone horses and how it would compare to omeprazole?
Yeah, so sucralfate is really a mucosal protectant. You can kind of think of it as a Band-Aid. It works by binding to ulcerated tissue and forming a little protective barrier, specifically in the glandular region of the stomach. So we use it for glandular ulcers mainly. It's very safe. And as far as long-term use or what that looks like, it's really minimally absorbed. systemically. So it really works locally. Again, that Band-Aid analogy. That said, there's some other considerations. Horse needs to have an empty stomach. Logistically, that's kind of challenging sometimes, and it can interfere with absorption of other medications. So horses on other medications, you got to watch that. So in for instance, if we're treating a horse for glandular ulcers, you know, the timing of when you do your omeprazole, gastrobim, or something like that, and sucralfate matters. You can't give it all at once. You want that horse, again, to have an empty stomach. Most of the time, we want to use the omeprazole first and then go to the sucralfate protectant, because we want the absorption of the omeprazole in the duodenum area. So it's combination therapy, really, for glandular disease. And it's been used for years and years and years. And in fact, when I was with DECRA, we were working on development of an approved gel type sucralfate, but it got canned because there's so many other compounders out there making the medication.
Dr. Winfield, Helen in California asked if there is any link between gastric ulcers and fecal water syndrome.
Yeah, at this time, there's no direct link between those two conditions. That being said, horses can certainly have both concurrently. And I think in some horses, both conditions could be triggered by a similar set of circumstances, like stress or diet or dietary changes, housing or herd dynamics, but they don't have a direct link.
Dr. Conway, Jennifer in Florida asks what the difference is between compounded and generic gastric ulcer treatments. Are both safe?
So, Jennifer, there's this important question, and we get it asked all the time as an industry veterinarian and also as a field veterinarian. And there is a big difference. A compounded omeprazole product is made by a compounding pharmacy and hasn't gone through FDA approval, CDM approval process. You know, studies have repeatedly showed that compounded omeprazole and other products that are compounded have high variability among the different compounders. And so there's, you know, Boehringer Ingelheim, DECRA, a lot of these companies have done a lot of work. They compared compounded medications to something else, whether it was for, you know, intra-articular sports medicine use, systemic use, or in this case, omeprazole, the variability is real among compounded drugs. And sometimes that's the bioavailability isn't there on the compounders. These omeprazoles have to be buffered correctly so they're not broken down in the stomach with the gastric acids that are available there. They actually have to make it to the duodenum to be properly absorb and get into the bloodstream. And unless they have the right buffering and all of those things, they just don't do that. And so, you know, compounding and is not the same thing. Now, as far as generics, that's in a different situation. So specifically when we talk about the newest generic, which is Gastrobin that Bimeda has come up with, that actually did go through FDA CVM approval and testing for bioequivalency, and bioequivalence means it's exactly the same as the pioneer product Gastroguard. The difference between those two products is Gastroguard is cinnamon flavored, Gastrobim is apple flavored. That's the only difference. When you look at all of the research area under the curve, the time that it's absorbed, when its peaks are, and all of those things, they're all those exactly the same. And they go through a lot of rigorous testing, whether that's, you know, Bimeda or Boehringer Ingelheim, they both did lots of testing. Now, the Pioneer goes through quite a bit more testing, to be honest, because they're the first product. But to show equivalency, Gastrobim had to go through an equal type of test where we looked at bioequivalence. And then in that case, did 40 horses. They did a crossover study. 20 horses got Gastrobim, 20 horses got Gastroguard. All things being equal, they are exactly the same. So they've proven efficacy and safety And really, the fundamental difference is that it's an FDA-approved product with a generic. So hopefully that answers it.
Dr. Winfield, we have another question about sucralfate. It's from Katie in California, who says her veterinarian sometimes combines it with omeprazole when treating horses with gastric ulcers. Can you explain why these medications might be used together?
Yeah, I think Dr. Conway briefly covered this, but you know, I use them often together as well. They're both going to help heal the ulcers in different ways. Kind of as it's been brought up, omeprazole is going to work by increasing the pH of the stomach with acid suppression and allowing the stomach to heal. And sucralfate is going to work more as a mucosal protective agent and adhere to the glandular mucosa of the stomach, kind of as a barrier to that acid. And it might also stimulate some mucus production and some healing via the production of prostaglandin E. I tend to reach for sucralfate much more commonly with glandular ulcers, where we'll do a combination therapy versus squamous ulcers. I'm gonna use just usually often omeprazole, unless for some reason the horse is incredibly uncomfortable and I'm just kind of throwing everything I can at it while the omeprazole's taking some time to start working.
Dr. Conway, Susanna in Pennsylvania asks if feeding her horse alfalfa cubes before a ride could help prevent gastric ulcers. And she also wants to know if cubes, pellets, or long stem forage would be best for this.
So I think you're thinking going the right direction here. So feeding forage before exercise or anything, you know, travel or those things is important. That creates this physical type mat where you within the stomach, so it helps to buffer some of that acid splash we might see when we're working a horse, whether it's riding it or it's in motion on a trailer or something like that. Alfalfa is really good in particular. It offers that a benefit of a little bit more calcium and protein content with that buffering ability as well. And you know, that small feeding 30 to 60 minutes before a ride is really pretty good recommendation. Sometimes that I make. As far as what type, whether it's cubes, pellets, you know, long stem forage, long stem usually wins out if you have the option. That chewing piece that horses undergo where they constantly are masticating and chewing stimulates more saliva production. Ultimately, you get a little bit more richer bicarbonate, which can buffer things. We talk about buffering a lot. Cubes, pellets require less chewing, so get less benefit there. That said, alfalfa cubes are probably a little bit better than other types of cubes, and better than nothing for sure. And a lot of horses on the road or traveling, it's just a little bit easier to feed pellets and cubes, but long stem forage is always my preference there.
Dr. Winfield, Mary in Iowa asks if it's possible for a horse to remain girthy after he has been successfully treated for ulcers because he remembers the past pain associated with saddling.
I think that's a great question from Mary. And one of the hardest parts of our job as vets and as horse owners is trying to determine what behaviors are related to pain that's active and ongoing compared to behaviors that have been established due to prior pain or prior experiences that the horse has had. I do think it's possible that a horse would continue to have that behavior even if the primary trigger, in this case the ulcers, have resolved. It would be valuable in a case like this to make sure that the ulcers have resolved and confirm that they truly are gone with a repeated gastroscopy, just in case the reason the behavior is continued is that there's been an incomplete resolution and the horse still has some ulcer problems. In some horses, there've been behaviors that through repeated gastroscopy we've identified to be very clear linked to recurrence, and resolution of that behavior really clearly linked to when the ulcers are treated or healed. And so those are cases that I've worked with owners a couple times, and it usually often does involve more than one scope. But I tell people when starting ulcer treatment to really pay attention to how their horse is acting, because sometimes even things they hadn't previously attributed to ulcers will resolve once they've kind of been taken care of, and it surprises owners at times. And so it's certainly an important, you know, thing to document as you're going through that treatment process.
Dr. Conway, Irina in Alberta asked if there have been any developments towards a more affordable treatments for gastric ulcers. And I think you've alluded to this, but if you could explain, that would be great.
Yeah, so there is affordability, I think, is important. We're all horse owners, or, you know, veterinarians, whatnot. So having something that we can treat and prevent ulcers is more affordable is a good thing. And so sadly, the question is really also couldn't be better. It's something I'm happy to talk about. Like I mentioned before, Bimeda launched GastroBim actually this month. So this is one of the big reasons we're having these discussions, which is the first FDA-approved, first and only FDA-approved bioequivalent omeprazole to GastroGuard. So GastroBim equal to GastroGuard for the treatment and prevention of gastric ulcers. So it's there. And I know this question is coming from Alberta. So is it available in Canada? Yes, it is. It's available in Canada. It's available in a lot of countries. And it's available in the US now. You know, there's been over a million doses given of this product, Bimedia's product, GastroBim, throughout the world at this point, which is pretty, frankly, is quite, you know, significant. And as far as affordability, you'll need to talk to your veterinarian, but typically, you know, the generics are 10 to 20% less. So they're going to be a little cheaper, which is a good thing. You know, I think we prioritize that. The bigger thing here is the different flavoring agents, so apple flavor and whatnot. But yeah, there is an affordable option out there, and that's FDA approved. So there you go.
Dr. Winfield, Maddie in our live audience is wondering how important it is to fast the horse overnight before treating them for ulcers. And could you also tell us why it's important to fast them before a gastroscopy as well?
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, before the gastroscopy, fasting is super important, just because if we don't have them fasted, we really can't visualize most of the stomach or good portions of the stomach. So if we want to get a good exam, we need that stomach pretty emptied out so we can really take a good look around. The fasting before the omeprazole administration is also really important. And that kind of goes back to, you know, where, how this drug works and making sure that it's getting activated properly and that work, it does work the best on an empty stomach with its absorption and then the addition of food and acid.
And Dr. Winfield, Carolyn in California wants to know how veterinarians know when a horse can stop ulcer treatment. And is this decision based on clinical signs?
I base this decision off of several factors, including the severity of the ulcers that are first identified on the gastroscopy and the location of the ulcers, if they're glandular versus squamous, and also the severity of the behavior and the signs that the horse was showing before the gastroscopy. I recommend a repeated gastroscopy in cases of severe ulcers, especially if they're in the glandular stomach, as these can be a little bit more resistant to treatment versus squamous ulcers. I also recommend a recheck gastroscopy if the behavior attributed to the ulcers has not resolved or incompletely resolved, as this could indicate either the ulcers aren't healed yet or the ulcers weren't the cause or the complete cause of the initial behavior in the first place. There are some horses that don't respond as we would expect to conventional therapy, and they may need a longer treatment course and also more intensive management changes to heal their ulcers. So the best way is certainly to look. If you can't look, then kind of going back to that first thought of just really paying attention to the behavior and noting if the horse seems to be improving as you would expect.
Dr. Conway, Judy in Ontario says her pony has always nipped when she's brushing or tightening the girth on one side. She's owned him for 26 years. Is this likely a sign of ulcers?
Wow, 26 years, that's a long time, and really a true equine partnership for sure. Judy, you probably know your pony better than anyone. I tend to think, and we have a horse that's 20, does this exact same thing, you know, girthing sensitivity, nipping when you're grooming. Those can be behavioral signs associated with gastric ulcers, and should be on the differential list for sure. That being said, some of these behaviors are kind of learned or consistent for lots and lots of years or localized on one side. You might think a little bit more broad. It may be habitual in nature. Horses sort of develop this response, sort of this Pavlov condition response to you doing something, or maybe the stimulus or is painful. Or started as painful, and now just they have this behavior, even if the pain or the stimulus has gone away for a long time ago. But then there's also, you know, could be musculoskeletal as well, that we sometimes don't think about, but especially in our senior horses. Recommendation always go see your veterinarian. A gastroscopy, it would be probably warranted at this point. I think we've talked about that, Dr. Winfield has, and but it definitely needs to be on the list for rule out. And then potentially, you know, go on omeprazole or other things to see if that behavior doesn't change at some point in time. But that's what I see.
Dr. Winfield, Diana in New Jersey asks how she can prepare her horse to move barns to hopefully reduce his risk of developing gastric ulcers.
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And I think we've touched on it a little bit, but I think, you know, kind of prepping the horse, I was thinking about this a little, like trying to make that transition as easy as you can from a management side, which might mean that you incorporate some of the feed from the old barn at the new barn and make that feed transition really slowly so the horse has consistency there. And then I think just using that prevention dose of omeprazole, starting that a couple days before you're going to make the move, and then continuing it through the move and really until the horse has settled in, would go a long way in stopping that horse from getting ulcers.
Dr. Conway, Heather in Alberta wants to know why it's not recommended to treat a horse for gastric ulcers without confirming via gastroscopy.
Yeah, this is an important question, and I think we get asked all the time, why don't we just empirically treat? If we think it has ulcers, you know, just put them on a one tube a day of omeprazole, 4 mg/kg. Really, it's tempting to do that, to skip the scope part of it. But the problem is that clinical signs of gastric ulcers overlap with so many other things out there, other conditions, other hindgut issues, musculoskeletal pain, you know, even liver disease or abscesses or, you know, what in the liver, what anything. And empirically treating the horse might improve. You may feel confident. You may have that. It may have that effect, but you don't know if you really ulcers are the underlying cause in this case. So I think it's important to go in there and see what's happening, get a gastroscopy, look and see if there's these maybe squamous or ulcers, or they could be glandular. And they respond differently. We've talked about that to treatment. So I think it's important that we go and scope these horses, and you don't know what you're really treating unless you do ultimately. And scoping also gives you a baseline to what to expect going forward, you know, what that horse might look like going forward. And so many clinics now have the ability to scope horses. I think it's more affordable than ever, honestly, to get those horses scoped. So I think it's really important to do. And, you know, I'm in the field. I don't have a gastroscope in the horses at my clinic up here, but and Cody, but I still recommend it. I still send them to Montana Equine or to these other facilities to go get scoped. because I think it's that important.
Dr. Winfield, Jackie in California asked how veterinarians diagnose hindgut ulcers and how do they treat them?
Yeah, this is a good question. It's a bit of a tricky question. They're pretty tricky to diagnose. There is a test out there that's kind of marketed to test the hindgut, but there's a lot of different things that can give that can make that test have a false positive. And so in my experience, I found that test very hard to interpret. Hindgut ulcers are probably more of a diagnosis of exclusion in most cases. And you may also want to use like a response to therapy as an indicator that they were a problem. And that's something that I don't typically advocate for. I really like to go as far as I can in getting a diagnosis, kind of like we were discussing with the gastric ulcers, like scope, take a look. Unfortunately, with the hindgut, we're really not able to do that. I know there's some really smart people working on cool cameras and other things, and maybe someday we'll be able to take a better look in there. But for now, it's pretty tricky to see them visually. I typically would recommend a pelleted diet and sucralfate for these cases to decrease kind of the bulk that we're asking the colon to handle and to try to help heal any mucosal lesions. If we think the hindgut ulcers are kind of caused by NSAID, it's a bit of a different condition called right dorsal colitis. It tends to be a little bit more severe, and those courses might need more intensive management with misoprostol and other medications added in if they're more severely affected.
Dr. Conway, Margot in our live audience is curious, if she's not able to feed omeprazole to her horse first thing in the morning, what would be the next best time to feed it?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think after they finish their morning meal, if you could go ahead and institute treatment at that next, like mid-afternoon, when they processed and their stomach's a little bit more empty. So 6 hours later, roughly 4 to 6 hours later would be great if they're being fed every 6 hours to go ahead and get them started on omeprazole at that point. We want to get it in their system, can't get it in the morning, mid-afternoon, can't get it in then, before your evening feeding or something along those lines, preferably on an empty stomach again. I think we've mentioned that a few times. But yeah, that's your best bet in treating ulcers, and especially if they're squamous ulcers and also preventative as well. So
Dr. Conway, Kathleen in Kentucky wants to know what the most misunderstood clinical sign of gastric ulcers is.
The most misunderstood sign, probably poor performance is mostly misunderstood, specifically because it's so easy to attribute to other things, training, fitness, lameness, attitude, lots of other things. Owners and sometimes trainers will spend months working through adjustments, equipment or bits or, activity level, lameness evaluations and all these other things before ulcers enter the conversation. I've been in this situation too. So I'm talking to myself a little bit here, having a horse, you're convinced it's something else and really it's ulcers, but a horse that's reluctant to go forward, has lost its competitive edge, mentally checked out, all of those things, lazy even, might just be uncomfortable. So those are all parts of it that might be just misunderstood as far as signs of gastric ulcers. Second one I'd probably flag is changes in eating behavior. I think we noticed that a little bit more, but it could be subtle. The horse picks at its grain, eats slowly. I talked about this earlier. But those picky eater horses, sometimes it's discomfort because of what's going on in their stomach and that gastric acid production. So those are things that I would look at and be at the top of my list.
Dr. Dr. Winfield, Sonia in California asks how to bring a horse back into work after being treated for gastric ulcers without risking recurrence.
Yeah, I think that's a great question, Sonia. It kind of depends, when I was thinking about this, if the horse has been rested for the whole treatment. So if you have a horse that's ulcers were diagnosed and you decide to rest the horse during the treatment, then I think you would have to gradually put the horse back into work. And there is a thought that when you stop omeprazole therapy, there may be a few days right after where there's kind of like a rebound of acid production that can occur. And so in those couple days, if the horse has been off, you might just leave the horse off for a little bit longer before you start adding work to it. For horses that have been in work during treatment, I would just gradually increase the intensity of the exercise, but I'd probably give them a few days off at the beginning if their ulcers were really severe, and really let the omeprazole kind of start changing the pH of the stomach. I like to give horses, you know, up to 4 days, maybe even 5, before I say, okay, you should really see a big difference here. And sometimes horses respond much sooner, but that grace period wouldn't be wrong to kind of rest that horse or keep its exercise really light during that time. We know that really high intensity exercise can make a horse prone to ulcers, and a lot of horses doing really hard jobs have quite bad ulcers. So if you were trying to let them heal, you just may back off on the intensity of the work.
Dr. Conway, Jennifer in Kentucky asks if foals can develop ulcers, especially during stressful events such as weaning.
Absolutely, Jennifer. Yes, foals are quite susceptible to gastric ulcers. Weaning is one of the highest risk periods. It's the most stressful. It's one of the reasons why when we're weaning foals, we try to keep them in groups. Remember, kind of mentioned that whole friends thing and freedom. They're getting their freedom from their mama, but they need those friends to help with the stress. And foals have a continuously high gastric acid output and production, and the stress of weaning is just that disruption socially with the mare and the transition of the diet, environmental changes. They all kind of tip the scale towards ulcerations. And, studies have shown that ulcer prevalence of foals is really high, honestly, and in particular, also during hospitalization. So if you've got, in my neck of the woods, you've got rotococcus, it's quite prevalent in Texas. We spend half a year down there. And other diseases that foals get, Lawsonia, or just different things. And those can all be times where the foal is at high risk for developing ulcers. It's one of the reasons why we put them on gastric protectants. One of the reasons we put them on omeprazole as soon as they get in the hospital. I think it's important. The other fact here is that just GastroGuard and GastroBim are both approved for foals 4 weeks of age and older. So I think that's another thing to note, that you can use this product in foals.
Dr. Winfield, Tammy in California says her senior horse is highly stressed during travel. How can she help reduce his stress and risk of developing ulcers?
Yeah, I think we've touched on this a little bit. So I'll kind of go over a couple of the things we brought up before. But I know that the senior horses can find things like travel much more stressful, and hospitalization too. We experience that when they come in and getting treated for other things. I think certainly if the horse needs it, like a mild sedative to decrease the stress. But again, kind of going back to that, let's start that preventative dose of omeprazole a couple days before the travel and continue it for a couple days after, and just help alleviate, the ulcer formation that may occur if we can't take all the stress away. If the horse has to travel, then we can't really stop that part from happening. And then there's a lot of supplements out there that, can help decrease anxiety, magnesium containing supplements that might be helpful with this source as well.
Dr. Conway, Heidi in New Jersey asks if wood chewing or cribbing can put a horse at an increased risk of gastric ulcers. And then also, could ulcers cause a horse to crib?
Heidi, this is the chicken and the egg question. Really, the honest answer is the relationship goes both ways. Cribbing is sucking of air, as we know, and we also know that it actually stimulates some saliva production. And again, saliva is this natural bicarb buffering agent for gastric acid. So some folks have theorized that horse's crib is a soothing mechanism because of the gastric discomfort, or maybe it provides this relief mechanism. There's also research suggesting that higher ulcer prevalence in cribbers. So it's hard to figure out which comes first as far as directionality, and whether cribbing causes ulcers. You know, the evidence is less clear. So I think the repeated air swallowing doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to damage the esophagus or the stomach lining, although that's still yet to be determined. Although wood chewing is usually, it was also mentioned, as more of a dietary issue because of boredom or maybe insufficient access to forage, or the horse isn't getting enough forage or long stem forage or whatever reason. So I would tend to think that forage is probably inadequate, or access to forage is inadequate if they're doing some wood chewing. And then these horses probably need to be scoped again to confirm things. But if it's a cribber, I tend to think that they probably do have ulcers. And if a wood chewer, for sure that there's some dietary situation going on, and maybe scope them as well.
Dr. Winfield, Nina in California wants to know if it's recommended to treat gastric ulcers found on gastroscopy if the horse is not showing clinical signs.
Yeah, I believe so. I think horses, for the most part, are really stoic animals. And it's also possible, so it's possible they're not showing you anything, because they're kind of good at that, especially some horses, not all of them, but some are particularly stoic. And it's also possible that there's signs the horse is displaying, or even behavior that are so longstanding that we're almost assuming it's just part of the horse. And the owner might not even be aware that that's abnormal, or that you would attribute that part of the horse to ulcers. But when the ulcers are treated, the horse might act differently. And so I really think it's pretty hard to say that there's no clinical signs unless you try treatment and see how the horse changes.
Dr. Conway, Alfred in Georgia asks if any types of feeds are more ideal for horses with a history of gastric ulcers than other types.
So feed management is an impactful thing, that one of the things that owners can control. It's really a good question. Foundation, I've harped on it, Dr. Winfield's harped on it, is forage, long stem hay. A stomach that's consistently full of forage has theoretically less free acid available, less acid splash, all of those things, and benefits from continuous saliva production as the chewing mechanism. The chewing produces more saliva, more bicarb, all of those things. In particular, alfalfa is beneficial because of the calcium and protein buffering capacity. There's probably more of what I would recommend if they're able to tolerate alfalfa. If it's the right horse, you know, we're not worried about sugar levels or insulin or something else, you know, at that point. As far as the grain side, I really think it's more soluble starches and sugars. You know, the high starch diets and grains, those are what drive some of these acidic environments within the stomach, and you get the squamous ulcers to develop that in those situations. So you want to look for more of a, you know, some of these feeds that are out there that have a potentially that use fat and digestible fiber more so than starch. There's a few of them out there. Some folks like to use beet pulp. That's probably good. It has highly digestible fiber source, a little bit gentler on the stomach, but just ultimately feeding more frequent meals, more access to hay, all of those things combined, I think, are important.
Dr. Winfield, Jenny in Ireland wants to know if ulcers ever heal with management changes only and no medical treatment.
So when I think about this question, I think, you know, initially I'm thinking, well, we don't often recommend not treating when we found ulcers. So I don't have a ton of personal experience with this, but there have been some publications where the control group, you know, horses are brought into a study, they're scoped, everyone's ulcers are quantified, and then some sort of intervention, you know, usually in this case it was a supplement that was given, and the control group, when they rescoped them, had improved as well. And so it is possible for ulcers to resolve, I think, without treating, with management only. That being said, I caution people against doing this because I think we have very little data besides, you know, kind of this one study that found that these helped. We don't really have a lot of data on horses' ability to resolve them with management only. And we have a lot more data on using a medication like omeprazole, where we have multiple studies that have proven its efficacy. If you were to choose this path, then I would recommend that horse is rescoped. So you make your management changes and you rescope it and really, you know, make sure that those ulcers have healed and just don't assume that they have.
Dr. Conway, this will be our last question of the night, and it's from Cheryl in our live audience, who says, given the prevalence of ulcers in competition horses, is it reasonable to expect treatment to fully heal all ulcers present?
You know, I really like this question. It's a good one to end on. It cuts right to the heart of something I think we all think about. And the short answer is yes. It's reasonable to expect and work towards sort of this ulcer-free performance horse. It just requires a big commitment on their part from the management, the treatment side, because the 90% statistic really is real and reflects what happens when horses are managed in various ways. And it's more convenient for us humans, but harder on their system, specifically their gut. So the intermittent feeding, high starch diets, stall confinement, heavy training schedules, all of those things, you know, frequent hauling up and down the road, are considerations and you know, push the horse towards this ulcerations and squamous or the glandular mucosa. So it's kind of going against industry norms. It's using the, you know, what we know now, the slow feeders and things like that. But the horse needs to have access to forage, you know, 14, 12, 14, 16, 18 hours a day. That is better. Just to maximize what they see, would see out in their normal environment, I think is important. The other part of that is combining with appropriate treatment, pharmaceutical, you know, using omeprazole in that support, making sure they're on treatment, and then they're on potentially preventative treatments, 4 mg/kg. It's one full tube. Preventative is a half a tube of Gastrobin or Gastroguard. So I think those are all good options to try to get, you know, get that statistic under control, not be in that 90% range. Just requires a lot of commitment on your part, as far as even the economics of it, for sure. But I think it's possible.
Well, that's all the time we have for tonight. Thank you, Dr. Winfield and Dr. Conway, for joining me.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us.
And thank you to Bimeda for sponsoring this event. And finally, thank you to our audience for listening and sending in all of these questions. If you're listening to us after the live event as a podcast episode, please rate, review, subscribe, and recommend Ask the Horse Live to a friend. Until next time, from everyone at the Horse, have a great night.